I have a thought on my heart this morning that we've been thinking about. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning out of the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall be pruned. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." As we look at this morning, I'm going to turn over and I'm going to take my text out of the book of Job, in the first chapter of the book of Job, if you want to turn over there, in the first chapter of the book of Job, a few verses here, says Job chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and he sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in his substance is increased in the land." And I guess out of all this reading that I'm going to try to make some points out of some of this stuff. But in this 10th verse, my main thought today is about building hedges. If I had a thought, or it would be about building hedges. I think about now is the time of year when all the kids is fixing to go back to school. They're all fixing to go to wherever. The kids is going to start college and start going to college in different places, and a lot of things are going to be going on. We look here and we can read in Job's writing what he did to his family, what he did for his family. And that's kind of my thoughts this morning that I have, and what I mean by this morning about building hedges. It says that Job sacrificed. He rose up early in the morning and he burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Job was building a hedge around his family. These sacrifices that he was making, these burnt offerings that he was offering up, these, as we know, we can look and we can see where the offerings was sent up, burn in the Old Testament times, that these offerings were burned on an altar and they were burnt up to God, and this smoke would go up into the heavens, and it would was classified or said many times as a sweet savor unto God. That the prayers that would go up, the sacrifices that would go up to God. And my thought this morning is clearly just that. We're living in a time that I don't know just exactly how aware everybody is, and it's one of the things that I mention quite often. But there is a great, great spiritual warfare going on right now in this time, in this world that we live in. This time that we're living in right now, there is a great spiritual warfare going on. It's going on in the churches. It's going on in families. And it is the responsibility of this church. Now, there may be those of you here today that don't have children. Your children may be grown up or whatever the situation is. But just like we mentioned about this young girl this morning that's sick, we need to pray for her. These children that are here at this church, we should care for them just like they were our own. We all want them to be saved by God's grace. We pray for their soul salvation. And don't get me wrong, nothing in my mind or thoughts this morning is trying to belittle the outstretched loving hand of God as he looks down and just as he looked down here upon Job and his family, is how he blessed everything that Job did. God had blessed it. Satan, though, the great accuser. The accuser before all men and before God, to each and every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever walks, he's that accuser that goes before God. And he said, Job, the only reason that Job is acting that way or fears you is because of how much you bless him. I don't know if we fear God anymore for the blessings that he bestows on us. I don't know if we fear God for his righteousness and his holiness and his goodness that is in him. I don't know if we, as God's people, we as mothers and fathers, as grandmothers and grandfathers, I don't know if we fear God anymore in our homes like we should. I even know that our homes are so well blessed. But I'm asking you this morning, as the Lord has put this on my heart, that you would consider these thoughts in your mind this morning. that you look at these children that are growing up here in this church, that are growing up in your family, and that you take time to consider their well-being and the blessings that God has blessed us with, and that you would get on your knees and that you would pray about these children. Yes, they do need to be saved by God's grace. I pray that they are. But we know and understand how the Bible teaches us that as parents and as grandparents, as members of the Lord's church, that there is a responsibility that is put before us that we have to uphold. We are to be leaders. We are to be examples to them in our lives, in our church services, to do what we're supposed to do. To live a godly life, to be a godly example, to be the people that we're supposed to be, that people that was purchased by God, that's been saved by God's grace. We've been called to be that people. We're to be a peculiar people, aren't we? We're not supposed to be like the world. Over in the book of Psalms, we find in the 127th verse, in verse 1, 127th chapter in verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." You know, in this reading here in this morning and in this fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah, there's some things that it was said there about the vineyard. And I believe that in this last verse, he said it had reference to Israel, to Judah. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he prophesied to Judah and Jerusalem. And so as he prophesied to these two two families is basically what it was, is he prophesied to these two families. And if you want to go all the way back and look at it, because all these, each one of these are set up and built up of families. This church that is set before us this morning, it's built up of families. He said in this that he went in, and that the Lord went in and into his place in his vineyard, and he took out the stones. He took out all the things. And you can look at that in any way you want to. You can say that you can look at it as he went out into the field and he removed all the stones that would hinder his grapes from growing, that would hinder the vines of those grapes from growing, that would harm them or keep them from coming up out of the ground. He would take them out. You can look at it at a stance that the idols was removed to keep God's people focused on what they need to be done. I believe that the Lord, God plants His people in circumstances where He has the right to expect growth. I believe He plants His people in circumstances and in situations and in places where God expects them to grow, to be fruitful, to produce spiritual fruit. I believe that everyone that's been placed in this church, God expects you to be fruitful. I believe He's placed you here for a reason and a purpose. And He expects you to be fruitful. He's removed the obstacles. He's removed the stones. He said, and it said here that He put you in very rich soil, very rich ground. What a very rich heritage that we have as Missionary Baptist. What a very, very rich soil that we have. What a great foundation that God has planted our feet in than right that God has planted us in, and He's allowed us to grow up in, and that we might produce fruit, each and every one of us. He planted it with the choicest vine. You can find over in the 15th chapter of the book of John, and we can see where Jesus is the true vine. Those of us been saved by God's grace, we're the seed of the true vine, the choicest vine. So we find and we see here in this writing how that God expects that we should bring forth fruit, and how that we should look and act and do and all the different things here that the Lord brings out. But it goes on down to say, you know, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Many times I'm afraid that we look and we wonder, where's everybody at? Where's all the children? Where's all the young adults? Where are they at? They was brought up in this same rich soil. They was brought up in that same environment. They was brought up under that same word of truth. Where are they at? I don't know this morning where they're at. But there's one thing I do know this morning. There are those that are here. And we, as God's people, have more to offer them than anything this world has. We have more to offer them than anything this world has. Oh, the Lord has left us here. The Lord has blessed us to be able to come, that we might put our hands about them this morning. That we might be able to put hands about our youth, about our young, about the young adults, those that haven't been saved that long, that we can pray a hedge about them and do the things that God would have us to do. The importance of it. Because I feel when we leave from the plan that's laid out here, how we know how God has done everything. He's provided the place for us. He's blessed us. He's put us in this rich foundation, this rich soil. He's given us the truth that that we can grow by. The truth of God's Word. He allows His Spirit to come down and His Son to shine upon these things that we can grow in Christ Jesus. We can be the choice. The choice of vines that He wants us to be. But there's this obligation that stands before us this morning. Just as this little child that's sick this morning, we have an obligation. She's not a member of this church. We have an obligation to pray for her well-being. I think about this morning, actually, when I was thinking about this, I thought about Sister Joyce and her bringing this precious little girl in here. Stand here and yelp. We got to stand in the gap. We got to reach out. We got to do those things that we need to do to take care of these children.
of the accuser that's out there that's trying to drag them off into a devil's hell. Parents with young children, all of you that are here this morning, I'm so thankful to see you. There's no place that you better that you could be. There's no place better that you can bring these children. They might grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No better place that you could have them this morning. Because this is the vineyard of God. This is God's vineyard. I think about how that even the apostles, when they were walking through this world, he told Peter that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. But the Lord said, I prayed for you. I believe that all of us that are gathered here this morning, I believe that the Lord has stood in our behalf many times in our lives, whether we know or realize it. I believe He stood on our behalf and that He's put out a hedge of protection for each one of us to keep us from harm's way. And I believe all those things that come about, through by the prayers of the saints that's gone. Around us, and whether we know it or not, the Lord has looked down and from time to time in our lives, and He's answered those prayers. He's kept us from harm. He's kept us from ill. He has blessed our lives. And we, as God's people in this day and age, in this great time of spiritual warfare that's going on, like I said, these things are being seen by you or being revealed to you like they are to me. But I can see how that Satan is working and his people all around to come in and to distract God's people. I can see how Satan has infiltrated in the churches of God and he is destroying one by one. He's destroying families one by one. He's coming in one by one. See, he works on one family, and takes another one, and takes another one. We have a great responsibility. We preach many times about reaching out to the neighborhood and everything, but this morning, I want our hearts and our minds to be on one another. Us. We all have enough family members that we can pray for, don't we? We all have enough children that's not in church, family members that's not in church, family members that's not been saved by God's grace. Family members that we know that are out in sin, doing things that's ungodly. They need that hedge. They need that hedge. We cannot give up on them. We cannot give up on the things. I think about so many things that I could say this morning. I want to say everything that the Lord wants me to say. We know that these are very familiar verses, but in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says
It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto for all perseverance and supplication for all saints." This young girl that's sick this morning, we don't know when the Lord is going to attack, or Satan. The Lord is going to allow Satan to come on us, and we're going to have that evil day. We don't know. You can probably be well assured that your day is coming if you haven't had tragedy or sorrow or heartache or sickness. You can probably be well assured that it is coming if you haven't. You can be assured that it's coming, that evil day is coming. It gives you here all the different things that you can defend individually against Satan. But I just feel impressed this morning that our prayers are what's lacking. That our prayers for one another, our caring and our love for one another, for one another's children, for the needs and the wants of one another, I feel that they're lacking in our churches, and I feel that Satan has taken these things and he's got a hold, and he's getting a stronghold on the minds of those that will listen to him. He's tearing down. He's tearing down things that it takes so long to build up. This morning, we need to be prayerful. We need to be prayerful this morning. James in the 16th. Or the 5th chapter and 16th verse, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The affectionate fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." A righteous person availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer brings fruit. It does. Prayer brings forth fruit out of our lives and out of our families. Because when we're praying, that means our relationship with God is closer. We're on speaking terms with God when we're praying more regular. And I promise you, the better the relationship that we have with God, the more fruits that we're going to bear in our lives to be able to reach out, the more effect that we're going to have to our lost family members, to those that are out and away from God. Prayer. Prayer, prayer. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins." I tell you this morning, there is a lot of things that's going on nowadays. There's a lot of things that we don't see. Parents, there's a lot of things goes on in our children's lives that we don't know anything about, we never see or know anything about. There's this technological age of computers and all these different things and all these various ways that Satan can filtrate and enter into the lives of our children that we may never know and we may never see. But I promise you this today. Me as a pastor, you as a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, an aunt, or uncle, or just a friend, it don't make any difference. We have an obligation that we might this morning pray a hedge about our children. Pray a hedge about one another as we go through this life and this world. We need to pray for one another. We need to love one another. We need to care for one another. We need to have the burdens for one another like we should. When we do these things, that word fervent in there, that turns up the heat on it, don't it? When you have that fervency in your prayer, that's the kind where you can get there.
Are keep us there, Lord, well. Lord, that you are able to look down this morning and to keep us from trouble, dear Lord, in our lives, Lord, that you can look down and that you can see our children, dear God, here, Lord, and that you can put a hedge, dear God, about them, dear Lord, that when they go out into this world, dear Lord, that you would protect them, Heavenly Father, from the things that are to come about, dear God, for them, Lord. We can't see into the future, oh Lord. We don't know, dear God, from day to day, dear Lord, what's going to happen, dear Lord. But we know if time goes on, Heavenly Father, that they're going to be out there in this world, dear Lord. They're going to be attacked by Satan, dear Lord, and the evils that he has, dear Lord, and all the allurements, dear God, that he brings, dear Lord, to them. And Lord, I just pray, dear Lord, that you help us, dear God, as a people, Lord, to give them the foundation, dear God, that they need, Lord, so when those attacks come, dear Lord, that they'll know how to handle it, dear God, and also, Lord, that you would put your hand about them, dear God, and watch after and protect them, dear God, and know for those times, Heavenly Father, we're not around, dear Lord, and we don't have the answers, Lord, if we don't know what to do, dear God, in so many situations, dear Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just look down, dear God, and hedge about them, dear God, your protection, dear Lord, and Lord, that you would be with our families, dear God, that you would be with all those, dear God, that are out, dear Lord, in this world. We have so many members of our family, Lord, that's lost. God, we know, Heavenly Father, that we feel that many of them are still here, dear Lord, because of your long suffering and your mercy and your love, and because of the many prayers, dear Lord, maybe that has gone up for them, dear God. We pray, dear Lord, that you continue, Lord, to prolong their time, Heavenly Father, that something would reach them, dear Lord. We don't know what it's going to take, dear God, but we just continue to pray for them, dear Lord, that something would get a hold of them that would cause them to seek you, Lord. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, for each one that's gathered here today. I pray, dear God, your blessings upon them, dear Lord, and your love and your safety, dear God, the safety of your hand, dear Lord, upon each one, Lord, that is gathered here, dear God, this day, Lord, that you would just bless and keep them safe and from harm's way, dear Lord. And we just thank you, dear Lord, for this day and for all your goodness and your mercy, how you've enabled us to be here, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord, and most of all, Lord, this day, we thank you for saving our soul. Forgive us, God, our sins, and bless this church, and help us, Lord, that we might be able to be a fruitful people, dear God, that all souls would be saved, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart before we dismiss today.
Doctors went to church his whole life.
Dodger. Someone else? Anybody else have children or family members they want to pray for this morning? Shelly and Brett.
I'd like everybody to remember my son who's going to a different kind of church. And my two grandchildren who are not going to church.
Just remember her son, her grandchildren this morning. Someone else. Tracy's dad.
Remember Katie.
Remember Katie. Someone else.
Remember my father. Remember him.
Amen. Remember Ed. Now's the best time in the world to mention them. Remember his grandson.
Someone else this morning.
All hearts and minds free. Let's take this feeling that we have in our hearts now and carry it through us this week. Let's pray for our children. Pray for our lost. There's some. Yeah, I used to sing Old Victory all the time. There's power in prayer. There is. I know there is. I know there is. So, let's be that praying people that we should be. You said a minute ago that it took 25 minutes. I don't think there's a time limit. There's been a time limit put on prayer. Sometimes we get a little rushed in our minds, by the time that we want to spend at prayer. But I don't think there's a time limit that can be put on it. As long as you feel that burden and you feel that need to pray, then we should pray. All hearts and minds free, all standing. Be dismissed through your vision with us. We have lunch and basement. We would love to have you stay with us. Hope you will. Smells awful good. So I'm sure it'll taste that way. So. Also ask a person to bless the food as they dismiss us today. All hearts and minds free. Brother Bob Jenkins, would you dismiss us for a prayer and bless us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and privilege we have to be in your house. Pray your blessing upon each person here, each family represented. We thank you for the message that we've heard. Heavenly Father, go with us now. Be with later in the meal, Father. Just bless us food for nourishment of bodies. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. And bring us back to the next point of hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Bert, I go over my time minute.
I guess not.